Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings.
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
All right, all right, all right. It's 106 at Edmonton. We got 24 minutes left in Oilers Now. We got a lot to get to. Oilers Now is brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex. They wish you and yours all the best during these challenging and uncertain times. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. We will tell you, we are 2 hours away from puck drop. Edmonton in Montreal to play the Canadiens. The Oilers are going to pull Kyler Yamamoto out of the lineup. He's been nursing a minor challenge of late. He's a little bit banged up, and Kyle Turris will slide in. Mike Smith will start. Those are the only expected changes from Monday night. We'll get to some Canadians information in a second. We will tell you, there's an old saying in the car business, cars cost less than Wetaskiwin. Brent Ridge Ford, 10-time President's Award winner for customer satisfaction. Open 6 days a week to serve you while following all COVID protocols to protect both customers and staff. Uncle Milt says the gang at Brent Ridge low on used vehicles. So give them a call now, 1-877-477-3673, or visit brentridge.com if you're looking to move a vehicle or potentially flip one. Again, you can text us at any time. Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. We'll tell you guests on the show receive gift certificates to Japanese Village, now open for takeout orders. Full details at jvedmonton.ca. We head off to our Oilers Now headliner, brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A. UK today. David Staples from the Cult of Hockey. David, just before we get to hockey post-media update, you cover the pandemic on a day-to-day basis. I know you put some numbers out. Are we starting to see the vaccination rates increase, not just in Canada, but in Alberta as well?
What happens in the rest of Canada pretty much happens in Alberta, because everyone's getting per capita the same amount of vaccines. So there's a little bit of difference between vaccination policies, where we're giving second doses a little faster than other places to protect more vulnerable people quicker here. But generally it's the same. And Bob, there's excellent news. And it is, you know, by early June, 50% of us will have had our first dose. And by late June, 2/3 of us will have had our first dose, with a not insignificant percentage by then having had their second dose. And what we see in other jurisdictions, when you get to that threshold of about 50%, 60%, is them opening up. They get back to their normal lives in significant ways. And I think, you know, right now we're in a crisis still, with hospitals numbers going up. They're going to keep going up for a few more weeks because we've had such high spread. But by early June, things are going to change. And I also think public attitudes are going to change on a dime, because when it's ready, we're going to be ready to open. The World Health Organization has always said there's real harm with lockdown, and it should be only used to protect your healthcare system. That's from the WHO. That's based on the best science, and that's what we're going to do, I think, in June. We're going to start reopening, and it's going to be fantastic.
David, do you expect by October of next year that we would have full fans back at Rogers Place for games?
I can't see why not, Bob. I mean, I can't see any reason in the world. In fact, I'm hopeful that if the Oilers go far enough in the playoffs, we may see fans in the stands. If they get to the semifinals or the finals, not full stands in the
right.
Full fans in the stands, but limited numbers of fans in the stands. And the Alberta government would have to be moving fast if that were to happen. But we've seen in other jurisdictions where you start to get limited number of fans attending games. And so I'm hopeful, actually, for the playoffs.
I think Nashville's up to like 12,000 fans now.
That's right. And their vaccination rates are higher than ours, but we're going to get there by June. And so it's just a matter of what do people want at that point. You know, the public health guidelines from the WHO are clear. And is it going to be relatively safe for people to go there? I mean, nothing's perfectly safe, but is it reasonably safe, I think, is the best way to put it. And is there a reasonable reason for not allowing it. But I think a strong argument's going to be made that later in the playoffs and certainly next season, the fans in the stands for sure.
All right, David, let's switch focus to the Edmonton Oilers again. They play Montreal. Puck drop at 3 o'clock. Yamamoto's going to come out. Turris is going to replace him on the right side. Mike Smith gets a start. But the story has been Connor McDavid, 33 points over the last 12 games. Unbelievable dominance.
Bob, it really is. And I've been just digging into the numbers, like to kind of put his season in historic terms, compare him to how is his dominance this season compared to other fantastic players like Wayne Gretzky, for instance, just in one season. So one way to measure dominance, because it's hard to compare eras because the league was different, the rules were different. I mean, they didn't allow assists very many assists early in the NHL, so how do you compare those guys to the modern scorers? So what you do is you compare a guy like Gretzky to his peers that year. How did he dominate compared to everyone else who played at that time? And when you look at single seasons like that, and I'm going to refer to work done by an Oilers fan called Darren DeLiba, only two players, Bob, have ever had more dominant seasons. Only two other NHL players have ever had more dominant seasons than Connor McDavid is having right now in terms of having more points than the next four guys in the NHL scoring standings. The difference between Gretzky had six such seasons where he had a higher percentage difference, more domination over the other guys in the top five than McDavid did. The other guy is Gordie Howe. And number three on the list is Connor McDavid this season. So he's having a more dominant season, a bigger spread, a bigger gap between him and the guys who finished second, third, fourth, and fifth than Mario Lemieux ever had, than Howie Morenz ever had, than the greatest players in the game. That's how good a season he's had. So I don't obviously vote for the NHL MVP award. I don't know if you do, but anyone who is voting for that should put a lot of weight on that kind of historic campaign he's had.
Are we seeing Connor McDavid perhaps with a little bit more bite in his game as well, David?
It's great, isn't it? I think it's undeniable, and I think it's the big difference in his game. McDavid is a I can't read his mind, but what I see of him is he's a very kind of respectful person who follows the rules. And initially, you know, he was showing off his incredible talent in the NHL, but when players roughed him up, sometimes he didn't always respond. It was almost like he had respect for the veterans, or I don't know what was going on. But now it seems like, again, I can't read his mind, but it seems like he's decided, if the NHL isn't going to protect me, I'm going to protect myself. And we saw that with the JT Miller incident recently against the Canucks, where Miller went after him. And Connor McDavid went at him and absolutely abused him for about 10 seconds. He had had enough. He was fed up. And I see that. I see little signs of that. Like, he is not going to let anyone get the best of him in any way any longer, and he's going after players, and it's put his game to the next level. Bob, I would love to see him have a rematch against Ryan Kessler right now, because he would not take that kind of crap that he took from Kessler was a younger player.
I'm still mad how they handled that at the end of Game 6. You're up 7-1 in a game, and you got a 5-on-5 line brawl opportunity, and they had Manson and Kessler on the ice. And you got Lucic out there. Someone's got to do Ryan dirty in that situation. You know what I mean? Like, you got to get your shots in on Kessler and make it count for how he went after your top gun. We're joined right now by David Staples from the Cult of Hockey. David, let's talk about the Oilers' lines. Cahoon's interesting. To me, he looks like a better, more effective player than Connor McDavid than he was with Leon Draisaitl. I'm not quite sure what it is. RNH back with Draisaitl. Yamamoto out for today's game. He'll be fine for next week when the playoffs start. Draisaitl, RNH, and Yamamoto. We've seen McLeod with a couple veterans, Neil and Chiasson. And then the Oilers have had success all year with Shore, Kara, and Archibald. What do you think about those lines?
I love these lines, and I have a theory. Let's see what you think of it about Cahoon and McDavid versus Draisaitl. Connor McDavid is just such a unique player. He's the ultimate soloist. He really doesn't need other players that much to create points. He can produce them all on his own. When he's on the ice, it's not like he's a selfish player, but when he's on the ice, you want him to have the puck at all times. So you have to have him. He's best fitted with players who can handle the puck when they get it, but they don't need it. to succeed in the NHL. That's not a big part of their game, puck carrying. They're puck movers and they're passers, and if they can shoot, that would be fantastic. So Cahoon, when he's with Draisaitl is obviously a very good puck carrier as well, but he is not the soloist that McDavid is. He's kind of a give-and-go player, loves to pass, combines well with other players. Cahoon, he fit in okay with Draisaitl, but with McDavid, he seems to be the perfect fit because he does not like to carry the puck. He loves moving that puck, and he's great at moving it. Get in there, get the pass, move it quickly. That's his whole game. So he fits very well with McDavid. And Puljujärvi, the other thing I like about that line is when Draisaitl's not on it, it puts Puljujärvi in the role of shooter, and maybe he's ready to start handling that. We've seen him one-timer a couple shots into the net in recent weeks. Maybe he's ready to step up in that role. So that line works because of that. Nugent Hopkins, Draisaitl, and Yamamoto have yet to get to play their A game this year. They scored a really nice goal the other night. They haven't reached the heights that they reached last year. But, Bob, I think when you look at how deep that Toronto Maple Leafs, I don't want to look past the Jets, but they might have to play the Leafs. That forward lineup and the Jets forward lineup are so deep, so good. I don't think you can stack a top line against them and beat those teams. So I think Tippett's come up with something here that might work.
Just a quick update from Eric Ingles from Sportsnet. Dominic Ducharme says Eric Staal, among several other players, have been playing banged up. No Toffoli, no Anderson, no Staal, no Petrie, no Edmondson, no Allen in goal on top of Weber, Price, Gallagher, Durant, and Deneau. The D pairings will be Kulak and Sherratt, Romanoff and Ouellette, and Gustafson and Merrill. So Canadians pulling. They're going the Boston Bruins route from yesterday. David, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You're general manager of the Edmonton Oilers. How far are you willing to go on a 3 or 4 year extension on Adam Larson?
Well, I would prefer 3 to 4. I might be willing to go 4 if it's a little less money. Here's the big issue, Bob, with Larson. You could hold off on signing him. You obviously want him back on your team next year. He is the kind of fierce, effective shutdown defenseman on the right side that if you let go right now, you'll be looking for that player for another 5 years when you're trying to win a cup with Connor McDavid. Terrible idea to let him go. So the question is, do you want to try to get through the expansion draft and kind of cheat through the draft where you don't have to protect Larson, sign him after the draft? Or do you sign him now? I'm in the sign him now camp because I think if the Oilers go far in the playoffs, make a little bit of noise here, every contract goes up significantly. So the quicker you can sign a key player like Larson right now, I'm all for it. You're going to lose a player anyway in the expansion draft. He's going to be a decent young player, but it's going to be one of two or three guys, and I don't think protecting Larson makes much difference. So sign him quickly. Sign him for 3 years if you can, 4 years if you must.
What's the price point? I mean, Chris Tanev got $4.5 million times four in Calgary. Yes, see, there you go.
Bob, I think it's going to be the way Larson's playing now. The way he's playing now, it's going to be...
It's got to be four.
It's going to be at least what he's made. Yeah. He's not going to take, and nor should he take a pay cut. So, and he probably, you know, the flat cap changes things, and it was just kicking in with kind of the whole flat cap mindset and how the NHL is going to work. But he's not going to take any kind of pay cut, that's for sure.
Final one for you. So we know Kulikov got brought in here to play a role. Right now he's with Larson. The Oilers have gone Nurse with Barry. Ethan Bear is ahead of Bouchard. He's going to play third pairing right shot. We know he's going to play. He plays 18 minutes a game. Larson plays 1946. Barry plays 2130. Darnell's playing 25 minutes a game. Kulikov's playing. Those 5 D are going to play. Who gets the third pairing left shot D? Is it Caleb Jones? Is it William Lagesson? I believe Slater Cuckoo might get a chance to play the last game of the season. Does he factor into this? And what about Chris Russell?
I don't know. Chris Russell's skating, I understand it. Yes. I don't know his health. But if I had to bet on it, if I was making a prediction, I'm going to predict Chris Russell. And it's because he is the safest of those three players. His slot defense is outstanding. He is not a strong puck mover. So we might see them start with Caleb Jones. And if Caleb Jones shows he can handle it, and some games he does, Caleb Jones is by far the best offensive defenseman of that group of players. He can really move the puck. In fact, he moves the puck at even strength as almost anyone on that team right now against weaker competition. He can really pass the puck. We saw that the other night where you know, he made that fantastic breakout pass to Leon Draisaitl for a goal. But his defense has been suspect all year, up and down, inconsistent, and probably the weakest defender on the team overall. So if I think Tippett likes his veterans, he sometimes you just got to win a game by grinding out a 2-1 or 1-0 win. And I predict Chris Russell will be in the lineup before this is over and will stay in the lineup.
David, how do people follow you on Twitter?
For the cult of hockey stuff, Bob, at D Staples.
You still making friends on the political stuff as well?
Always, Bob. I'm growing friends every day.
Did you have a favorite band headed up by a female lead singer?
Well, Stevie Nicks. I mean, Fleetwood Mac. I mean, they had lots of lead singers, but nobody's better than Stevie Nicks.
There you go. There you have it. Awesome.
Thanks,
stuff.
Bob.
That's David Staples. Nice work, Brandon. It is currently 1:21 in Edmonton. Puck drop 3 o'clock. City Ford Faceoff Show 3:30. Royal Pizza. Well done, Cam Moon. Royal Pizza, pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. For a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations, go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. Stop for recommendation, Mediterranean chicken. When we come back, we'll get to this day in Oilers history for New West Travel, as well as your North Division report brought to you by Craig Hummel at RE/MAX Excellence. This is Oilers Now, and it's 1:21 in Edmonton.
Next week, 'cause I think that you need me. All she could do is cry like she wanted to dance, and when can you see me?
Gave it away. That's Hart. Nicely done, Brendan. Connor McDavid, he's going to win the Hart. You got to have Hart. There you go. Having some fun on today's edition of Oilers Now. Again, the City Ford Faceoff Show will begin in about 10 minutes' time with Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown, Cam Moon, myself, Jack and Louie tonight on the or this afternoon on the TV coverage. Well, a puck drop here. 3 o'clock Bell Center. The Canadians going with basically a preseason lineup. They're pulling several of their players out after yesterday. Winnipeg ensured that they had the 3 spot. They'll play Edmonton in the opening round of the playoffs. The Canadians, who already had $30 million out of the lineup the other night against Edmonton, several other key veterans not going to play today. This day in Oilers history brought to you by Dennis and Jason Oliberti and the team at New West Travel. I went to this game. It was game 6 of the Smythe Division Finals in 1992. I'd gone up north, quit, and came back for a week and a half, and went with Darren Hamilton and Craig McKay, who's currently with Robinson LLP, to go watch the Edmonton Oilers knock off the Vancouver Canucks. I remember Dan Russell was with CKNW Radio at that time out in Vancouver, and I was working up in Fort St. James earlier in May, and he had said that the Canucks were going to rout the Oilers in the second round of the playoffs, and that didn't exactly happen. No, it was Edmonton who ultimately got the victory and defeated the Vancouver Canucks again. Bill Ranford recorded his 3rd career playoff shutout, 2nd of the 92 playoffs, to lead the Oilers to a 3-0 win over the Vancouver Canucks in Game 6 of the Smythe Division Finals. That game was played at the Coliseum. I remember at the end of the game, Pat Quinn, God rest his soul, firing his gum out on the ice as his team got completely shut down by the Oilers. That's this day in Oilers history for Dennis and Jason Laliberti and the team at New West Travel. We had a fun night that night. That's all I'm not going to tell you where it ended up, but, well, actually, it didn't end up that night. It ended up in the morning. It was a great time. Alrighty. Let's do it. It's time for something that we do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on Oilers Now, and that is the North Division Report brought to you by Craig Hummel at RE/MAX Excellence, and we got her all straightened out on the playoff front.
Yeah, they're set. Toronto hosting Montreal in the opening round. Edmonton has drawn the 3rd seed Winnipeg Jets. Oilers went 7-2 against Winnipeg this year, outscoring them 34-22 in those 9 games. Toronto 7-3 against Montreal, but they did absorb 321 hits in the process. Again, 5 of the league's top 10 scorers all coming from the North Division. McDavid, Draisaitl, Marner, and Matthews are in 4th and 6th respectively. Mark Scheifele is tied for 9th with 61.
Brought to you by Craig Hummel at RE/MAX Excellence. Finding your dream home, listing your old home, it all starts at soldtodayedmonton.ca. Find it, love it, move in.
On top of Carey Price, Shea Weber, Brendan Gallagher, Jonathan Drouin, Philip Deneau, the Canadians now will be scratching Josh Anderson, Tyler Toffoli, Eric Staal, Joel Edmondson, Jeff Petrie, and Jake Allen. Edmonton and Montreal coming up. Puck drop again today, 3 o'clock. We'll have the face-off show for you at 1:35. We will tell you tomorrow. Our guest list will include Sportsnet color analyst Louis DeBrusque, Kevin Weeks from the NHL Network for Canadian Power Pack, Alberta's leader in electrical construction service, electrical prefabrication and solar, and Montreal-based media personality, Edmonton sporting icon George LaRocque. Craig, it's great to hear from you for the first time in about 2 months. Thanks for the feedback. 1:28 in Edmonton. Thank you for all of you who participated in the interactive element of today's show, including sending in your thoughts and your favorite female lead singers of all time. Off to a global news weather traffic update. Reed Wilkins is the next voice you'll hear. We'll have a lot of Oiler talk coming up on the Face Off Show.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.